And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. For the first half of today's program, we talked with Barclay Martin and looked at the needs of children and families in the Philippines and how programs such as the Christian Foundation for Children and Aging open up possibilities for their future. Now we turn to our own backyard, Truce Lake, 29th and Paseo, to be specific, for a look at how the needs of our own neighbors are being addressed by a new urban neighborhood initiative. And joining us now for that discussion is Jason Wood, Vice President of Community Engagement for the United Way of Greater Kansas City. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thank you, sir.
What is the Urban Neighborhoods Initiative?
It was an initiative started by the Chamber of Commerce around September in 2011. And it's really aimed at creating economic opportunity and establishing a more vibrant Kansas City region. It was then United Way of Greater Kansas City. They actually, the Chamber then selected two champions, Terry Dunn, President and CEO of J. Dunn Construction, and Brent Stewart of United Way of Greater Kansas City were asked to champion that initiative. And United Way's involvement has been where we've been serving as a convener, really focusing on community engagement to start bringing around some conversations about how we can improve that selected area.
So it is two parts, community development as well as business and economic development. You got the community aspect, the actual people and the actual physical locations, and then bringing businesses into blighted communities.
Yeah, it's a whole gamut of things. I mean, there is a lengthy list of things that we're hearing already from residents in the community about things that they want to see different. What are their aspirations for their community and what can be done now and what they hope for the future. So, yeah, I mean, it involves both economic development to community development to actual human lives.
What are you hearing from people about what they want in their communities?
You know, it's nothing different than I think than most people really imagine. You hear immediately it's around education, it's about jobs and income, it's about health and safety, it's about talking about the good things that are going on in the neighborhoods, it's about housing. It's nothing that I think any of us that wouldn't have expected, but at the same time we're asking it in a different way for people to kind of share it in a light that they maybe not been able to before, or in a forum, or creating a place for them to be able to share that information.
What neighborhoods are you looking at so far in this initiative?
So the site selected starts at 22nd, goes all the way to 52nd Street, with the east and west boundaries being True Street and 71 Highway. There is a group of neighborhood partners that we already have involved, Beacon Hills, Blue Hills Community Service, Blue Hills Neighborhood Association, the Brush Creek Community Partners, Ivanhoe, Center City, the Green Impact Zone, Manheim, Boston Heights, and Squire Park, as well as 4963 True Street Neighborhood.
And Mount Hope as well.
Yes, correct.
How are they benefiting so far, and how are they proactive in the process of jointly developing their own neighborhoods?
So part of the process is for them to work with all of us and being able to engage the community residents. They've been there helping us. What we've been doing are called community conversations with area residents to talk about what their aspirations are, what needs to change, and what are those barriers to creating or not allowing that change to occur. So they've been engaged with us and helping us engage those residents. But also, more importantly, they've been there helping us in the planning process.
Do you have community liaisons from each one of these neighborhoods that sort of show up and talk to people in the chamber and people at the United Way and sort of act as attachés, if you will?
Yeah, exactly. There's about two to three from each group, from each neighborhood association that we meet with on at least a monthly basis, sometimes more often, sometimes a lot via telephone conversations. And so it's, they meet with us regularly to help us actually do the planning. I mean, the important part of this is that nothing can be done without their leadership in their own neighborhoods, but also nothing can be done without the residents.
Tell us about the fair coming up that you guys have coming up to create awareness for this project and these initiatives.
Yeah, this is actually the second of the kind of events that they've kind of had in their urban in the UNI project, the Urban Neighborhood Initiative. And it's going to be on June 27th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Truce Lake there. And it's going to be a health and family fun event. It's going to have food, activities for children. We hopefully have enough Royals tickets for every family that shows up. There'll be health and safety info from both a couple of medical centers and a large number of nonprofit organizations that'll be there that evening.
Why Truce Lake? Why did you pick that location?
Well, it's I don't know if it was necessarily the location right away, but part of it is tying in with another project that's starting on that morning, where they're planting about 200 and some fruit trees, and a good portion will go in that Spring Valley Park, which actually extends kind of underneath that 71 Highway portion, which is right next to Truce Lake. And so that was part of their reason for the attraction. One, Truce Lake is a very beautiful lake. There's a lot of activity that goes on there throughout the day. Families are over there in the evening. There's a lot of fishing going on. I think it was part of having an attraction of showing some of the great assets that occur within that Urban Neighborhood Initiative area.
And what's already there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there is a tremendous amount of work and assets that are occurring within that area. And part of it is about talking about a different narrative, telling a different story, talking about there are great things going on within that area. And one of those great assets is that family area of Truce Lake.
Do you think a lot of the city might not even know that there's a lake near Truce? Some people would probably say a lake of what?
Yeah, a lake. Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. When it first started in the work, I was not familiar with the Truce Lake. And as we've been planning this project, I have a deeper probably admiration for it than I did before. There is just a ton of activity going on. There's a bunch of great guys that are down there on a regular basis in that shelter who play dominoes on a regular day. There's a bunch of great guys that are out there fishing, and there's just a real sense of community around that lake.
And it is aesthetically pleasing.
Oh, yeah.
Is beautiful.
Yeah, the city has done quite a bit with it. The Beacon Hills neighborhood on that area, 29 Paseo, has been really making sure that rock wall keeps up and looks nice. So, yeah, I mean, from a beautification standpoint, the Parks Department and the city residents have done a good job of making sure it is aesthetically pleasing.
When you talk about the fact that even you didn't know that there was a lake over there and that it was aesthetically pleasing and what people did over there, what do neighborhood initiatives like this do to foster unity and foster education about the areas east of Troost and for the residents east of Troost, the areas west of Troost?
Mm-hmm. I think part of it is just is telling a different story, telling a different narrative. It's about talking about some of the great things that are going on. When we hear from the neighborhood leaders on a regular basis, they'll tell you about the great things that are going on in their neighborhood. And sometimes it's about just lifting that conversation up. And that's part of what our role has been is doing that and bringing that to light. I think the other thing it does is it just brings attention to it from people that may not be familiar with the area. They now know that it's a great place. There's a lot of great things going on in that area. Probably one of my favorite restaurants now, M&M Bakery, is probably one of my favorite places to go to for lunch. I mean, there is a ton of places in that area that people just aren't necessarily aware of.
Breakfast is good there, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guest is Jason Wood, Vice President of Community Engagement for the United Way of Greater Kansas City. We're talking about a unique collaboration between neighborhoods, community organizations, and the KC Chamber of Commerce, working to bring a health fair to East KC. We're also talking about the aesthetically pleasing aspects of One Truce Lake on the east side there. The event is on Wednesday, June 27th. You can check out the health fair and family fun night, all totally free, near Truce Lake at 29th and Paseo. More information is on our website at kcur.org. There seems to be a focus among many community groups here in Kansas City, especially lately, on healthcare. We had the Black Healthcare Coalition on the show not too long ago. There was a 5K run. There's an emphasis on health and nutrition. Truman Hospital is getting involved. A lot of other organizations getting involved. Your organization is also emphasizing healthcare this year. Why is that such a critical piece as we look at things locally, regionally, and nationally with the debate over Obamacare or what's called Obamacare? Why is healthcare such a central piece to this conversation?
There's a lot of indicators that will tell you that, you know, health is controlled, or there's indicators that will tell you that in order for healthy lifestyles to occur, that, you know, that income can be an issue with that. It's just a common baseline for us and our perception when we look at our community impact agenda that says that health has to be is one of those crucial three aspects of a safety, you know, or building block of life. If people are healthy, you know, they're able to go to work or they're able to attend school. It's just one of those building blocks that can dictate how your life is going to proceed. I think the other key part of it around this initiative is just ensuring that there's access to healthy other opportunities. There's whether it's exercise or eating nutritiously, that there are options out there and just trying to increase access to those opportunities.
And of course, green space helps people move around and have a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, with the tree planting, the community orchards, how did that come about?
Well, that was actually one of our neighborhood partners, Center City, was working with the Timberland Company at that point in time to look at—
Not the boots.
No. Yes, I think it is. Timberland
the boots.
Company. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're in the ballpark then.
Yes. Yeah. And so they were working on doing some apple. They had done one on the west side previously a few years ago, and so they were coming back, and they've done a partnership with Skills USA, and so they were looking for additional locations, and as part of the kind of this collaborative effort, the Center City neighborhood came to us and said, you know, can you help us put this together? And so we started working with them and the Parks Department to secure an additional location besides the Center City one for the Skills USA volunteers and Timberland to be able to help being able to plant a second fruit orchard.
Does everybody get Timberland boots?
I don't think so, but, you know, I don't know. It would be nice, wouldn't it?
How will these orchards benefit the neighborhoods, other than aesthetics?
Yeah, aesthetics. You know, I tell you, I did not have a green thumb at all before I started this project. The other partner in crime that I work with pretty extensively, Carol Smith, who is very knowledgeable about all this kind of work, you know, was indicating, and as I learned, that they don't really produce fruit for about 3 years. So eventually, at the point in time, they'll be able, you know, the neighbors will be able to get some fruit. But we hope it'll be kind of become that catalyst to start some different work in that area. It's about, again, changing that narrative and talking about things. It's bringing attention back to that area of town that maybe doesn't always get it, and just, you know, being that starting point to get things moving forward.
Speaking of bearing fruit, is this initiative something where you're looking 3 to 5 years out on seeing it come to fruition? Is there an incremental plan?
Yeah, the plan is hoped to be done before the end of 2012, having some drafts being done hopefully here in early fall, and having a symposium that first week in October for community residents and neighborhood leaders and community leaders to come together to help in shaping that plan and reacting to some of the draft ideas with it, with the hope of having the plan announced before 2012. But you know, when they started the Urban Air Initiative nonprofit, you have to understand that it's a long term. It has to be a long term plan. I mean, there's not something that's going to be success overnight. There are quick wins, but there's no easy wins either. So part of the process is that, yeah, you're looking to 5 to 10 years out to making some of the success happen. I mean, it's been a long history in this area of trying to improve it. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight.
It certainly isn't. And when you have a lot of cooks in the kitchen, you have a lot of nonprofits involved, you have government entities involved, you have the United Way, you have the Chamber of Commerce, and the neighborhood associations, there can be a lot of divergent views, mm-hmm. a lot of different goals. How do you control for those differences and those sort of unpredictable snags?
I don't know if there's necessarily an easy answer to that. Part of it is luckily, and I think it's just naturally inherent, everybody at the end of the day wants to do the right thing, and they want to see neighborhoods improve. They want to see people have, you know, education, having income, and having health. I mean, that's, everybody wants that good innate feeling, and they want to make sure that everybody's striving towards that. So I think everybody naturally wants to achieve the same thing. Sometimes how you go about it may be differently, but with the fact that we're all deeply rooted by those aspirations, hopefully we can keep things moving forward. But part of it is listening, and listening authentically, and making sure that we all have accountability to not only each other, but we have an accountability to our community.
How you go about it, that's an interesting segue to my next question, which will be equally spellbinding. How do you get around the skepticism of some neighborhood residents with outsiders coming in saying, oh, let's plant some trees and talk about the lake and dip
yeah.
our feet?
I think that's an excellent question. It's something we've heard starting back in November when we first had our conversations, that there is skepticism. You know, we've heard this before. We've seen it done. We've had plans. You hear that on a regular basis. We're still hearing it from our March 6th event that said, you know, you already talked to us about this. You've asked us these kind of questions. But I think part of it, there's a couple things. One, we have to listen authentically, but then we have to be able to share the conversations, what we're learning with everybody involved, and making sure that we're all kind of on that same page and we're all communicating it the same way. So that's part of it. The second part is having some small wins, I guess you can say, is that there has to be proof points along that way. And this is kind of one of those proof points, we hope, that doing that, you know, communicating some of the work that Neighborhood Housing Services has done recently with some of their projects, what Ivanhoe has been doing, it's about lifting up those proof points to demonstrate there is work going on naturally, and it's been going on for a long time, and I think it's about just lifting it up so everybody can see it.
Speaking of small wins, the Kansas City Royals have been creeping up in the standings in the AL Central, and you're using Royals tickets as a draw. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Royals were fantastic enough to donate some tickets to the event for families. The Royals have been, they really wish they didn't have a home game that day. They were going to try to get, the mascot out there. But, they see the importance of it. The Royals have been involved in the RBI program, returning baseball to inner city. I mean, they have they really believe in it. And so we're very appreciative of everything that they've done to try to help support the event.
Is the event open to everyone?
Yeah, anybody can come. I think that's part of the story is that we want people to come to see a neighborhood maybe they traditionally haven't been in. Mount Hope and Center City have been really great planning partners in this and reaching out to their residents to make sure that they can come. We made sure we put in a time for those working families to be able to come, or if those are maybe starting to work that second shift or whatever, that they'd be able to come to the beginning part of it. We really want to make it a family fun event.
What about the safety concerns, people that might have safety concerns about that area of the city, even though you and I can walk it and we know it's relatively safe? Address some of those safety concerns.
Yeah,
people that don't even know there's a lake.
Yeah, it's a very safe area to start off with. You'd be sometimes I think it's a perception problem. But from that standpoint, the Central Patrol Division is going to be out there with the residents and being out there. There are significance, not the right word, but there are great community leaders and block captains for those areas that are going to be out there. So, from my standpoint, it's a great safe area.
You talked about the issue of perception.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how initiatives such as this sort of drive the conversation toward changing the preconceived perceptions about these areas of town.
Yeah, we hear that from the residents. You hear that from the community leaders that, this is a great area. There are some of the most beautiful homes in the Squire Park neighborhood. If you've never been there, drive through there. I mean, they are some beautiful, gorgeous houses. There are houses in that area that, have been there for so long. I mean, just structurally, they're sound, they're great-looking houses. There are great people in those neighborhoods. I mean, it's a great place to be, but it's about just changing that narrative. It's about talking to people in a different light and saying, this is what great is going on in our city. This is what's great happening in that neighborhood. And a lot of us just don't get the opportunity to know it. I mean, we appreciate shows like yours that will help change that story and talk about it in a different way. It's about showing a different picture sometimes of a neighborhood that doesn't get shown. And, this is a part of that initiative, is lifting that up.
In a local documentary titled We Are Superman, it came out a few months ago.
Yes.
And screened at the Nelson Atkins Museum. It featured community leaders, some of whom you've worked with. And the leaders in that film ask viewers to make a friend on the other side of Troost. We've been talking about perceptions. They say this is the only way to heal the dividing line. Is this event a chance to do that?
I think so. I think that's probably something I never even put in my own head on that, was that this does. I mean, it's, I'm making sure my own family is down there and that they're participating. We're asking of all of our United Way family, we're asking the Urban Neighborhood Initiative leaders to be down there for the event. I think it's a great way of showing true community support. And it's about just being there, being present, and being a part of it, not just standing on the sidelines, but being there and engaging with all residents from our community. So I think that's a great example.
Should that work two ways as well?
I think
should
so.
People on the other side of Troost make friends on the west side of Troost as well? Make that effort?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's interesting when we were talking to some of the community leaders that even though their neighborhoods may be on the east side of Troost, they're very much still working about on the west side of Troost, or they're engaged with those neighborhood leaders. Some of us may see Troost as a dividing line, but not among the neighborhood partners. I mean, they don't see it that way. At the end of the day, it's all about community. And we see that ourselves, even from United Ways. It's all about community at the end of the day. And so whatever we can do to foster and make this a better community, that's what we're for.
What is the end game here? At the least, what would you like to see this initiative become?
Well, that's a tough question. I think for me personally, it's about, one, telling a different story, but two, it's about changing neighborhoods. It's about changing lives. One of the leaders from the board, Steve Rowling, always talks about hope. At the end of the day, it's about hope, and it's about bringing a different sense, a different feeling to it. At the end, it's going to be better than it was today. And I think if we can always keep that in mind, that's what's going to drive this initiative forward.
Our guest is Jason Wood, Vice President of Community Engagement for the United Way of Greater Kansas City. We're talking about a unique collaboration between neighborhoods and community organizations in the KC Chamber of Commerce, working to bring a health fair to East Kansas City this Wednesday, June 27th, you can check out the Health Fair and Family Fun Night, both totally free, near Truce Lake at 29th and Paseo. More info is on our website at kcur.org, and they're hoping that this is a long-term plan as well. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, sir.
And tune in tomorrow as we revisit the rise of urban farming locally, regionally, and nationally. Our show is produced by Andreas Lindsay with help from Charlie Upchurch. Up to Date is next with Jim Robbins and a discussion about his book, The Man Who Planted Trees. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.